graduation Sunday. This is like an exciting time. It's an exciting time and it's a scary time, isn't it? Because changes are about to happen in these young people's lives in a major way. I mean, some who are going from eighth grade into the big high school, north and south combining, or wherever high school you're going to, and all of a sudden you've got all these big classes you're supposed to go to with all these new teachers, and you have to move from place to place, and it's a big building. It's a scary thing going to high school. Then if you're graduating from high school, it's even bigger, because the classrooms don't necessarily always look like classrooms. Sometimes they just look like the world. College is an intimidating place because sometimes we're going off on our own for the very first time for an extended period of time, and mom and dad are not there to keep their finger on you to make sure that you continue doing the things that you should and need to be doing. The freedom that goes along sometimes with college and being out in the world and on your own can be very intimidating and overwhelming in a lot of ways. Just getting out of college. Now that can be scary, because all of a sudden, you've got to make your way. No more sleeping in, waiting for class. Somewhere, somehow, there's going to be a time clock somewhere for you to punch, or someone for you to be responsible for in order to pick up that check at the end of the week so you can pay your rent and your car payment and your house payment. Life begins. We're looking at a passage of scripture out of Acts that I think is really interesting. It goes right along with what we're talking about for graduates and also for each and every one of us today. We've been looking in a series in Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 4. Last week we looked at kind of the beginning of the confrontation that was about to happen, and we're going to get into the passage that I think really hits right into the midst of graduation to each one of our graduates today. But I'm going to kind of review from last week what we read, and then I'm going to get into this week. It says in Acts chapter 4, the priests, you got to remember what happened here. I'm just going to give you a quick summary. What happened, Peter and John were going to the temple one day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They see a beggar who was laying there upon the streets, and he's been begging there for 40 years. And they look at the beggar, and the beggar expects to get something, and Peter and John look right at the beggar, and puts out his hand, or however he does it, and Peter says to the beggar, he says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you." And he reaches out his hand and he helps the beggar up, and the beggar stands. The crippled man stands. And not only does he stand, but he starts to leap and he starts to sing and he starts to rejoice in the Lord. And they go into the temple courts and he makes a commotion in the temple courts right there where people are supposed to be praying. He's so full of joy because he is no longer a cripple. He is no longer a beggar. He has been set free from bondage. And all these people start to gather around. And Peter and John take the opportunity with all these people gathering around to give a sermon, to tell people not about the beggar, not to tell about how great they were that they were able to heal this guy, but they take the opportunity to preach in the name of Jesus and tell the entire crowd that Jesus is the reason that this man is healed, to tell them that Jesus is the one who can give them peace. He is the one who can set them free from their sin. They are bold in their speech, and as they're being bold in their speech, not only are those who are coming around are getting the good news about Jesus, but some are coming around with an agenda that we talked about last week. And they don't like Peter and John speaking out. And so that's where we're at in Acts chapter 4. It says, the priests and the captain of the temple guard, the Sadducees, came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. There's the hot button. They seized Peter and John because it was evening, and they put them in jail until the next day. But many who had heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, and you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That's where we stopped last week. Praise God. Amen. No other name except Jesus. Verse 13. It starts here. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, see the connection? Unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Did you hear that? I just want to read it to you again real quick. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Graduates, I have a little piece of advice for you, a little piece of knowledge, a little tidbit that you will find very true the further and further you go along in life. You may have heard this before, but it is incredibly true. You've spent 8 years in school, maybe 12 years in school, maybe 16 years in school, learning, gaining knowledge, cramming these things into your head, regurgitating them onto a piece of paper at someone's beck and call, which is all well and fine and good, and I encourage you to continue gaining that knowledge in your head. But the fact remains, many times in life, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Not what you know, it's who you know. You know, we spend so much time in classrooms gaining knowledge. And knowledge is wonderful. I'm not putting that down. My wife's a teacher. She'd beat me silly later today if I said, don't go learn things. Knowledge is important. But people and relationships are what will really last. Do you hear me? That's what's important. Eighth graders. I don't know how many years with Tracy as your teacher, as your youth group leader in so many ways. Do you realize she's addicted? And I'm not knocking Tracy or anything like that. But what is her addiction? Chapstick. She's addicted to Chapstick. What? How can you be addicted to Chapstick? But she is. Every day before you came into class, you might not have noticed, but if you were astute, you may have. She probably reached into her purse and put some on right before you came into class. It's the little things. The little things in our lives that we keep hidden. It really makes us who we are to be known. You see, when these rulers said this about these apostles, they were astonished. They were unschooled and ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They were saying something really important. They said, they were basically saying, they saw Jesus in these men. They were able to imitate, or they had the characteristics, or they had the appearance and the knowledge and the sound and the boldness of Jesus. It's important. You see, they recognize Jesus in these men. There's a lot of similarities. I look at Peter and I look at his life and I start wondering, how did he get this boldness? And some people might say, you know, he got this boldness because he spent the 3 years of Jesus' ministry with him every single day and going on and doing all these different things. But Peter wasn't always like this, standing up in front of these rulers, standing up in front of these authorities, and being bold with his speech. Peter wasn't always like that. If you remember Peter, he wanted to be like that. He's the one that stepped out of the boat when nobody else would get out on the water. Peter was the one who, when Jesus says, you know, there's going to be problems coming, Peter was the one, if you have your Bibles, take a look with me in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Peter's the one who says so boldly, he says, when Jesus told them, this very night you will fall away on account of me. That's Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Jesus told them, this very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have arisen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter's the one right here that says, but Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Do you remember that? Peter say that? He's standing up bold. Even if everyone else falls away, I'll never fall away. And Jesus looks at him and says, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. This very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And then it says, and all the other disciples said the same. Even if I have to die, I'll never disown you. Do you realize that out of the four Gospels, three of them record this very thing, this denial? The only one that doesn't record the denial of Jesus, this account right here where he tells him it's going to happen, is John. John's the only one. John, the Gospel of John is the only Gospel that does not record that Jesus tells Peter that he's going to deny him. The only one. Interesting. You remember the relationship between Peter and John? Hang on to that little fact, all right? I like Luke's account of this very same thing. In Luke chapter 22, take a look with me. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34. Luke has a little bit different spin on what happens in this moment. He has a little bit different spin. They've had the Last Supper. Judas has gone out to betray him. All these things are going on. In verse 31, it says, Simon, Simon, there's none of this other stuff. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Listen to what Jesus prays here. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. You see, Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew that when he was turned over to the guards, everyone would scatter. Jesus knew the details of what was going to happen in Peter's life, and there was a reason that he was calling Peter and telling him in advance of what was going to happen, so Peter would know that on the other side of this, Peter would know that he is the Christ, that he is God. He knows all things. As a matter of fact, all four gospel accounts records, all four of them, records Peter's denial of Christ three times. Remember when they went in the courtyards and the little girl, the servant girl, says, hey, aren't you one of them? He says, no, I'm not one of them. And then just a little bit later, she comes up and says, I'm sure you're one of them. And he actually curses and says, no, I swear, I'm not one of the disciples. And then just a little bit later, some other men say, hey, aren't you a Galilean? And Peter actually calls down curses and says, I never knew him. And then the rooster crows. Why do I bring that up? Why do I bring that up? Because I think there's something really important in the midst of the relationship between Jesus and Peter and John and us, and especially our high schoolers and our junior hires and our graduates. I have a personal question that I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands or anything like that. Especially to our high schoolers. Do you remember when you entered high school? Do you remember when you first started? Do you remember your relationship with Jesus at that moment? Probably been going to junior high youth group for a while, all fired up. Thought you knew everything. Every junior higher does. Don't you? Just ask them. Ask any junior high, do you know everything? Yeah, I know everything. What do you want to know? I'll tell you. Do you remember the charge I had for you junior hires when you were going into high school? To stay strong, make a difference, be the light in this school, be a witness. Do you remember this? I do. How'd it go? I'm not just talking to the high schoolers right now. I'm talking to all of us. How'd it go? Did you stand firm? Were you light? Did you make your mark for Christ? Did you get too busy? Honestly, did you get too busy? Did basketball and football and track and baseball, volleyball, softball, band, chorus, Friday night fun, Monday night fun, Tuesday night fun, Wednesday night fun, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday? Did it start taking precedence? Did the relationship start Sunday morning? Oh man, I'm tired. I get up at 7:30 every morning to make it to school by 8. I can't make it today, Mom. Sorry. Honestly? Be honest. That's why I look at this. Because we are all failing. We've all run away. In some way, shape, or form, none of us are standing firm the way He's calling us and wanting us to. The cool thing is, do you remember the one gospel that did not record Jesus telling Peter that he was going to deny him? Do you remember the gospel? It was just a few minutes ago. John. The only gospel that records the coming back, the reinstatement of Peter, is John. Now, why is that significant? I got to thinking about it. I actually got teared up when I was trying to tell Nathan. I was trying to explain it because he always wanted to know what I'm doing. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I try to explain it to him and it never quite comes out. And I was like, you know what? There's something to this idea that Peter's best friend, John, didn't record the failure. He didn't record the failure. He didn't record when Peter said, I'll never leave you. I'll die with you. He didn't record the failure of his friend. But he records the reinstatement of his friend. And you remember when Jesus says, you're going to deny me 3 times? If you look at the reinstatement of Jesus of Peter here in John chapter 21, it's 3 times. 3 times, he says, when they had finished eating, and Jesus came back to him, they'd had a meal along the shore, and Jesus takes Peter off by himself. There it is again. Jesus takes Peter off by himself, and when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And I don't know exactly what these are. Maybe it's the pile of fish that they just got done eating because Peter was out fishing. Maybe it was the other disciples he was pointing to. I don't know. Maybe it was the boat. Maybe it was the nets. Maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it was the rocks in the hills. But he says, do you love me more than these? And it's kind of interesting, the construction. I know you've heard me say this before, but when he says, do you love me? He says, do you agape me? Do you sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice me, love me more than these? And Peter's reply is kind of interesting. He says, yes, Lord. He says, you know that I love you, but it's you know that I phileo you. You know that I have this friendship type of love in the midst of this. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said a second time, Simon, son of John, do you truly agape me, love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that I love you. Same type of word, but a different nuance, a different meaning to these two different loves. Okay? And Jesus says, take care of my sheep. He doesn't say, no, Peter, I didn't say phileo. I said agape. Do you agape me? He didn't do that. He took Peter right where he was at. Okay? And the third time when he comes to Peter, he says, the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you, and here he says, do you phileo me? Do you love me like where Peter's at? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Do you see the correlation between the three denials and the three reinstatements? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. You see, guys, he loves you right where you're at. Listen to me. The past 4 years, the past 3 years, the past 2 years, you may look back and say, oh, I messed up. I denied him. I didn't do all that I could or all that I should, all that I wanted to, all that I dreamed of. I didn't stand firm. I wasn't bold in my faith. But you know what? Jesus knows that. He takes you right where you're at right now, and he says, today's a new day. I'm not worried about yesterday. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm looking at today, and he says, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Will you stand with me just for today? Don't worry about tomorrow. Just stand with me today. Do you love me? Will you recognize me today? Will you hold on to me today? That's enough. Today is enough. Know me. Love me. Walk with me. Today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Can you do that? Just for today? And when tomorrow comes, will you wake up and say, Lord, let's try that again. Just today. Just today. Let's try that again. And walk with him. Get to know him. You know, one of the things that bothered me, there's a lot of things that bother me. You ever notice that? I say that every week. I must be bothered with a lot of things. Today, when we're handing out our gifts to our graduates, I have to admit what was going through my mind was silver and gold. Silver and gold. Because if you open up your envelope, and some of you probably already have, we put some money in there for you. You want to know the truth? The last thing I want to give you is money. The first thing I want to give you is a greater and more fully understanding of Jesus. So you can keep the money. It's yours. But I want to offer you something else. For anyone who wants it, this is especially to my high schoolers. For any one of you who wants it, I have or will get a study Bible for you. And I will sit down with you individually or as a group, and teach you how to use that study Bible. Show you the love and the passion that I have for this word and the strength that it can give you for every single day. Silver and gold, I do not have. What I have, I will give to you. The power of the Word of God and how it can affect and change your life. My greatest prayer for you is that one day someone will look at you and say, where did they get this boldness? Where did they get this light? Where did they get this power to live with joy? Where did they get this unabandoned spirit to truly live in the name of Jesus? You see, that's what was seen in these men. They saw Jesus in these men. And it tells us very plainly, they didn't know what to do with it. And the world isn't going to know what to do with you if you live for the name of Jesus. If your light shines so bright, it's so different from the rest of the world. You see, he loves you. Not hanging on to your past, but right today, he loves you. And he wants you to know him so fully and so completely that his life will shine through you, just as Mark's saying, that your words will be his words. He needs you. I love what it says here about these guys. It says, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered him to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everybody in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men not to speak any longer in his name. Do you hear what they're saying? They're saying, we see the power of God. We see the miracles. We can't deny it, but we don't want to accept it. Does that make sense to anybody here? We see the man healed. We see the power of God. We see these ordinary, unschooled idiots, basically is what they're saying, have a power that we can't match. They remind us of Jesus who was standing in the temple teaching like no one had ever taught before, and now these fishermen are doing it. The same thing, teaching with power, with boldness, with truth. We can't deny it, but what are we going to do? Not accept it. We're going to try to push it down. And that's what the world is trying to do. They're trying to push down the truth of Jesus. If you don't think so, you need to open your eyes and see it. We've got movies right now that are telling us that. We've got movies that are coming out every day to the masses, letting known the truth of what's going on in our world. The most wonderful one this summer was God's Not Dead. The entire movie. High schoolers, if you don't think you're going to face it in some way or shape or form when you go to college, even Christian college, yes? There are people in Christian colleges, let alone the secular colleges, that are trying to convince and make you believe that there is no God, that this whole religious thing is ridiculous. I'm going to tell you right now, it's true. God is real. One of my saddest stories, it still bothers me this day. I hated thinking about it this week. I had a good friend in high school. Married one of my best friends from high school. Got married. Went off to school. I'm not going to give any names. Went off to school. This friend was going to go into the pastorate. He wanted to become a minister. All right? Wanted to become a minister. Goes to U of I. Within 2 years, going to U of I, he no longer believes in God in any way, shape, or form. Divorced from his wife now, completely, completely estranged. Won't set foot in a church again for the rest of his life. Is so angry, so frustrated, so messed up in his faith. He will not even talk about it anymore. I see his dad every once in a while. It breaks my heart. As a matter of fact, I've got to the point. Gotten to the point when I see his dad, I almost try to turn and walk the other way because every time I see his dad comes up to me and he goes, Heldon, will you go talk with him? Have you seen him? And I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. How can a man who loved God so much, who was a witness for his faith all through high school, now turn away? Listen to me, guys. Listen to me close. If you think you're standing firm, beware. Because Satan is out there. He's creeping behind the bushes. He wants to tear you away. I don't care if you're going into college or going into high school. Satan does not want you to have a living relationship with the living Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants you to deny him. He wants you to turn away from him. Listen to me. The only way to combat that is today. Is today. I'm going to walk with you, Jesus. Today. I'm going to live for you, Jesus. Today, I'm going to listen to your voice, and I'm going to obey you, Jesus. Today. Today. There is great joy. There is great boldness. There is great favor. There is great accomplishment in the knowledge of Jesus and standing for him with boldness and without fear. Today. Graduates, I call you to live for him today. Right now. He's got a plan, and it's a perfect plan if you'll follow it. So where are you at today? Do you need to make that decision for the first time? Do you realize that when you step out in this world, it's not going to be a friendly environment towards Christ? If you want to, I've got a thing on the video back there right now. At the end of God's Not Dead, there was in the credits, nobody stays and watches the credits, I realize that. But in the credits for God's Not Dead, there was a 3-minute rolling thing of all the universities, University of Illinois, Southern University, all these universities, ones that are so close right here, have pending lawsuits against Christians, or the Christians have that against the university because they're trying to deny their faith. And that scroll, you want to see it? You want to see it? Play it. Not the trailer, the other one. Play it. I want you guys to see what's going on in our world. High schoolers, graduates, listen to what's going on and see the truth of what's happening in our world. It's time to stand firm. See if your alma mater's on there. And this is only a partial list. Partial list of what's going on in our universities and in our world and in our country. It's a partial list. What I want to do, and I'm going to end with this, but what I want to do real quick is what's really neat about this story in Acts is after they turned them loose, if you go on, it says they called them in again and commanded them not to speak to or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go, and they could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. If you can keep reading on what's going on, is they go back to the house and they start to pray. You know what? There's great comfort, there's great power, there's great boldness in coming back to that place of prayer. And what I want to do real quick, this is just something I'm making up right now as we go, but what I want to do is I want you to know that you're not alone, okay? Eighth graders, I want you to stand up real quick. Stand up. Eighth graders, stand up. Okay. You're not alone where you're going. In the schools that you're going into. And what I want you to do, I want you to know that you're not alone. Right now, I want all the kids who are in high school, going to be in high school next year, the sophomores and the juniors and the seniors, I want you, if you are willing to stand for Jesus this coming year, if you're willing to stand for Jesus this coming year, if you're a junior, a sophomore, or a senior, I want you to stand up right now because these kids need to know that they are not going to be alone. That they're not going to be alone. They're not going to be alone. And if they need help and encouragement, that they can turn to you and you guys can encourage one another. I want you guys to look around right now at each other. Just look around. Come on. Just look around. These are your friends right now. These are your comrades. These are your people in arms. Hold one another up and sharpen one another. Keep each other accountable to one another. You can sit down. High school graduates, I'm going to ask you guys to come back up. Come back up here. It's okay. I'm not going to pick on you too bad. We're sending these guys into the world. And we know what that world is like, right? I want you to stand up. If you will be a willing partner for them to call or stop by your house or reach out to you if they need help, they need someone to talk to. If they need encouragement. If they find themselves in a place that they can't handle by themselves. You see what you have? You see what's available to you? Night and day, any hour of the night or day, you can call them and me because we love you. Lenny, you're in Germany, dude, but you can call me. I'm ready for a road trip at any point in time, man. I don't mean to make light of it, but this is your support system, and these people are here for you because they love you, and they want to see you grow. Take advantage of this. It's not something small. Let's pray. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord and God, you are a mighty and incredible God. And I thank you. I thank you for each one of these graduates. I thank you for the life that you've given to them, Lord. I thank you for the witness that you've been in them, Lord. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will just give them a greater boldness in the days to come, Lord. I pray that you give them desire to live for you each and every day, Lord. I pray that you'll draw them closer to you, Lord, in such a way that they cannot deny the reality of your existence, Lord, and the love that you have for them. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to guide and direct them, Lord, that you will encourage them, Lord, in the path that you have drawn out before them, and that you will give them the strength to follow that path, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will allow them to see the light that you have in their life, and that light will shine brightly in their lives, God, and that they will turn to you and know that you are God, and there is no one like you, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will empower them to live for you and for you alone. Lord, I ask for protection around each and every one of them. I pray, Lord, that you encourage them with the witness of this congregation to go with them every moment of every day. We love you, Lord, and we need you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Heavier than I've ever laid it on a graduating class, but I feel like we're sending you into a place right now that is harder than ever to live your faith for him. So you need all the weapons and all the material that you need, can get a hold of to do it. My offer is good to you. I'll get a study Bible for each and every one of you, and I'll show you how to use it, because the Word of God is the strongest weapon that you can have in your arsenal to stay strong in your faith. Whenever you want it, you can call me, and it's available. Amen? I love you guys. Have a seat. Yes?
A lot of you don't have phone numbers. You call this church, and Andrea will give you a phone number of anybody that you see
out here. Anyone that you want.
Anybody, because I know phone numbers. Do you say we can say you get your phone numbers? Call them. If you see anybody here that you want to touch base with at any time, because we stood up for a reason. And it's tough out there. Real tough. As you get older, it's even tougher.
Amen.
Phone numbers are there. Call this church and they'll get you a phone number.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Yeah. You guys can be seated. I hope you meant it. I hope you meant it. I hope you meant it. We need each other. Iron sharpens iron. Amen? Let's stand and sing.